I wanted to look with you tonight in Matthew 28, the most famous missionary text. The last few words that Jesus gave, as we recorded in Matthew, find that there is an incredible promise here. Incredible promise of Christ's all-sufficient presence. Starting in verse 16 to the end of the chapter, Matthew 28. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Now, did you get who he's talking to here is the 11 disciples in verse 16. What just happened in their lives had really confused them. There's actually three characteristics you see these disciples at this time when Jesus gave them their commission. And the characteristics I see is, first, they're confused. Second, they're fearful. And third, they feel weak. They're very confused. You read through the Gospels and see when Jesus went and was crucified, although he predicted it, he told them it was going to happen, they were surprised by it. They were very confused. What's happening to their king that they were following? Wasn't he going to establish his kingdom in Israel? That's what they thought. And so they were disoriented after all that happened. And Jesus has come back and risen from the dead here. And here he's speaking to these disciples that are still confused about what is going on exactly in this timeline of what Jesus is going to do. He speaks to them in their confusion and gives them a mission. He doesn't leave them confused. He gives them a mission. This is what I want your focus to be on, making disciples. That's what the Great Commission is. This is your mission. Go make disciples of all nations and do it through baptizing them in the name of all three persons of the Trinity. It's bringing them in connection with the Father, in connection with the Son, the Holy Spirit, and then the teaching them to observe all the commands of Jesus. He says, this is what I want you guys to focus on. Second, their characteristic was fear. You notice what happened when some worshipped him. Most of them worshipped him, but some doubted. They still had doubts. Is this really true that Jesus has come back to life? And in the midst of this fear and this doubt of these disciples, Jesus comes and wants to give them that courage and that boldness. He knew that they had failed him. Remember what happened in the garden? Matthew and Mark tell us, it says, all the disciples left him and fled. They didn't stick up for Jesus. They had failed him. And so they stand there with some fear. And you think of Peter, the one who denied him three times. Think of him receiving this commission. Go make disciples of all nations. Here's Peter who's just thinking about how he failed Jesus and denied him three times. He's afraid. But in the midst of this, he gives them this promise, I am with you always. That empowerment. They were also weak. You think of them receiving this commission, go to all nations and make disciples. These are Galileans. They're country boys. They didn't have a college degree, a master's degree. They were simple men. Here he gives them this commission to go to all nations, to cross cultures, and to go share with these other people about him. People that have never heard about this man named Jesus who grew up in Israel and was called the Son of God. This is a daunting task for the disciples, for just weak men. And so they feel this weakness, and even in the aspect of the spiritual weakness of they saw Jesus deal with demons, and they saw the power of the spiritual realm, and how could they overcome it? He gave them power to cast out demons too. But you remember, they failed one time, at least we have recorded. They tried to cast out a demon, but the man came and said, your disciples tried to cast them out, but they couldn't, and Jesus had to. And he rebuked them for their lack of faith. So they are feeling this weakness too in the spiritual realm. They can't do this in their own strength. And this is why Jesus gives this promise to them. In the midst of their confusion, their fear, and their weakness, he gives them the promise, I am with you always, to the end of the age. This is the same promise we need, because we too struggle with disorientation. We get disoriented of what God's mission is. We struggle with fear. I remember so many times I've prayed for God to lead me to someone to witness to today. And then he gave me the opportunity, and I never took it because I was afraid. When I pray for God to bring someone across my path, I need to pray for boldness because I really need that. I'm so fearful. And we struggle with that fear. What is someone going to think? What are they going to do? How are they going to react? We need God's promise that he's with us, because that's the power that gives us the courage in the midst of our fears. And then the weakness. How are we going to reach the nations? This world is so big that he gave this commission 2,000 years ago, and the world was very small compared to what it is today. 7 billion people, and some statistics say there's out of those 7 billion, maybe 8% call themselves Christians. And so that's 500 million out of 7 billion. That's 6.5 billion people that do not know Christ as their Savior. That's going to take a lot of energy for us if we're going to reach these people with the gospel. And we can't in our own strength. It is impossible. This is why we have the promise of his presence. We find strength and courage through the assurance of Christ's presence with us. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Now, you might think, as he gets to the end of this commission, why did he give them the promise of his presence? Couldn't he have given them another promise? I mean, they needed other things too. What about guidance? Didn't they need guidance where God wanted to send them? Yes, they did need guidance. But it is through God's presence that there comes that promise of his guidance. And you see this through the Old Testament. You see it in Israel. When he was with Israel day and night, the day he led by the cloud, and by night he led by the fire. And through that, God was reminding them that he was with them. And because he was with Israel, he would lead them and guide them. Here's the assurance for us too. Because he's with us, he will guide us. We can follow him. He's a good shepherd. What about protection? He could have said, I will protect you always to the end of the age. Don't we need protection? There's so many threats. There's so many harmful people. And even in the spiritual realm, we need protection. But it is through the promise of his presence we find protection. He told Jacob, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. I am with you. His presence is with him, so he doesn't need to fear evil and those that will harm him, because God will keep him. He's with him. He told Paul a very similar promise that Jesus gave to these disciples, he gave to Paul personally. We read this in Acts 18 when Paul's in Corinth. The Lord says to him in a vision at night, do not be afraid, but go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you and no one will attack you to harm you. Here he comes to Paul. You know the story of Paul. Everywhere he's going, people are trying to kill him. He has so many people against him, but God comes to him and encourages him. And what does he tell him? I am with you, and I will protect you. God's presence assures us that he will protect us. So this promise really is the right promise, even in the area of courage. Remember we talked about disciples fearing, and we fear. He could have said, I will give you courage. But it's through his presence that we find that courage. This is what he told Joshua. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua needed a lot of courage going to conquer all these many cities and nations. And here he is filling in the shoes of Moses. And he was fearful. But God gave him the promise of his presence that would be with him. The knowledge of Christ's presence with them is what gave Joshua that courage to go out and fight and conquer the land. The same courage that we gain when we remember Christ is with us. And notice what Jesus said at the beginning of this commission. All authority in heaven and on earth is given me. Who is the one that is with us? It's the one who has been given all authority. Jesus rose from the dead. He showed he had power over all forces of evil. And he is the one who's with us, the all-powerful one. And so we have no reason to fear. A common experience for parents with small children is in times of maybe storm outside, times when the child is frightened, the child wants to be with its parents. When the wind is blowing, there's lightning, there's rain pounding against the roof, the child's fearful. He's calling for mommy or daddy. Now, when mommy or daddy comes, what do they tell him, or what do they do? Does daddy come to his little son and say, "Son, you don't need to be afraid because we just repaired our roof this last year, and it's going to hold up fine. The bricks on our house are very strong. You don't need to be afraid. They will hold it up." What does that mean to a two-year-old? Not very much. What does he want? He wants his parents. He wants their presence. And so in the middle of the night, they'll take him into bed with him so that he can be with them, and he's comforted. He's comforted not because he thinks about the shingles that are strong and the bricks that are strong. He's comforted because he knows he's with his mommy and daddy, and everything's going to be okay. That's what we have, except a much more infinite degree, because our God is not like parents. He is all-powerful. He is all-knowing, and he's all-loving, and he is with us. He is right here with us. We need that assurance. And missionaries all over this world, God's people who are making disciples among the nations, need that. That's a prayer request. That's a good prayer request to pray, that God would give missionaries the assurance that he is with them, because that promise is all sufficient. It covers every base. It's the promise Jesus left them with. Now notice he ends this promise with the condition of it. I am with you always to the end of the age. Every single moment, every day, I am with you. Always. He will never leave and never forsake us. Now, we forget that. We forget that he's with us, but he never fails on his part of it. God never lets his part down. He is with us, and even times where we aren't recognizing, he protects us, and he keeps us. And notice he says, till when? Till the end of the age. God is with us all the way to the end. The Great Commission wasn't just for the 11 disciples here. It's for us, because he intended for this disciple-making of all nations to go on to the end of the age until Christ comes again. This is the age of making disciples. What a privilege we have to stand in between the two comings of Christ, his first coming and his second coming, and to be a part of his work of bringing people to him. We live in such a privileged time that we get to be a part of God making disciples of the nations. One day it's going to come soon when we will join him in heaven, and with, as John saw the vision, we will see a great multitude that no one can number. We can't count them. But what will we know about this great multitude? Is there something we can distinguish them by? Yes, he says in Revelation 7, they are from every nation. They are from all tribes and peoples and languages that are standing before the throne of God and the Lamb. In heaven, we will know there's going to be people from all nations. We're going to be able to distinguish that. What a privilege it is to be a part of that, bringing in the multitude to worship God forever, that we're going to worship right along with, though many of them we will never meet who are in faraway places. But together, we will always be with the Lord and worship him in heaven. And it's such a joy to be a part of that in this life, which will bring us great joy in the next life. As we carry out our mission of our King, making disciples of all the nations, where do we find our strength and courage? It's by believing this promise, by taking it by faith. I am with you always to the end of the age.
As Matt was closing, I was thinking of what we covered in prayer meeting just Wednesday night, this past Wednesday, if I'm thinking correctly. Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. I know my own know me, even as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. The Lord has people in Cambodia that are waiting to hear the gospel. God has people all around the world, and he's doing something in their lives, and he will bring them to Christ as they hear the gospel. And Matt and Becky have the opportunity and the privilege and the joy of sharing that gospel. As Matt said up front, it's a privilege and an honor to share the good news with others. Matt's encouraged us to realize how important it is that the Lord would be with us, and that we would not take that for granted, but that we would pray for those who go forth, that they would have that assurance. Let's go ahead and pray together for Matt and Becky, for Jonathan, their young son, that as they go from church to church, relationship opportunity to opportunity, that the Lord would help them to know his grace and his presence, and that they would minister well. And if they would have this blessing of the Lord, they would be able to one day be in Cambodia. Father, we thank you that you are a great God, that you're calling people from all over the globe. And Lord, we thank you that this work that you're doing is much bigger than any one of us, but we thank you that we can play a small role by praying for you to be at work, and by praying for people to go, and by praying for those who do go. And we thank you for the burden that Matt and Becky have for the people of Cambodia. And Father, we pray that you would help them. Lord, if it honors you, we pray that we would have the joy one day of hearing them give an update of how the work is going in Cambodia, of how the gospel is going forth in Cambodia, and how you have used them to bring glory to your name even through their ministry. Lord, we know for this to happen, and many things have to take place. And Lord, we know that they would have to be able to continue to share their heart for missions with many other churches and many other people. And Lord, that those individuals and bodies of believers would need to be burdened to pray and to give. And that you would have to bless them, Lord, with grace and endurance to have the wisdom to know whom to contact and how to contact and how to plan. And Lord, they would need your grace for safety, just as they would travel these many miles. And Lord, then there's all the interpersonal challenges as well. There's just the difficulties of this type of ministry. And yet, Lord, we know that you're able to meet their every need as you go with them. And Lord, as long as you're with them, that by your grace this can be accomplished. Lord, if it pleases you, bring it to pass. Lord, help them to be able to get the support they need at just the right time. Lord, help them to find just the right churches to connect with and partner with. Lord, help them to be able to get enough support to head to Cambodia. And Lord, we know even then the work has just begun. We pray that you would help them to be able to learn the language and adjust and to make those initial contacts, and that they would be able to work well with the other missionaries that are already there. And Lord, that you would bless them and that you would prosper them, and more than anything, that you would help them just to be mindful of the promise that we've been reminded of tonight, that Jesus is always with them, even as Jesus is with all of us. Lord, we pray that you would help them, bless them, encourage them, and prosper them, and use them all for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.